Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.org. So Judges chapter 6 verse 11, and the Bible says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat underneath the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Bezerite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.' Gideon said to him, 'Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites.'" 14. "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?' So he said to him, 'O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.' And the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man.' Then he said to him, 'If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign. It is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you.' And he said, 'I will wait until you come back.'" And so what I want to talk to you guys, just make it very clear, I want to talk to you guys about letting go about false beliefs. False beliefs, insufficiencies, right? Things that we worship. Things that we worship that aren't right, right? And really what it means to embrace the new thing that God is doing within our lives and what that looks like, right? And so when we look into this portion of Gideon, you know, in his life as a young man, right? Gideon was a young man that lived in oppression. Like, how many of you guys know what it's like to live in oppression? And man, to be in a situation you don't want to be, but you just kind of have to bear it, right? It's not an easy place to be, especially for a young person. And so because of that, he was full of insufficiencies and complexes, right? And it wasn't because there was an issue with him. It was because of the environment that he was in. Does that make sense? See, in that environment, he had experienced great warfare, right? And so it had brought him to a place where he began to question God's goodness, right? You guys ever been there? Where you wonder if God, why God is, he allows certain things to happen? So we look in verse 12, that God comes to him and he says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.'" 13, "Gideon said to him, 'Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which your fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites.'" See, and the problem with Gideon in this part, it wasn't a lack of faith. He believed that there was a God. He believed that there was a God that the parents, you know, talked to him about the miracles and things that he did. His question was, why did he forsake them? See, the problem with Gideon wasn't the faith part. The problem with Gideon was that he didn't have sound doctrine. He didn't really know the scriptures. He really didn't know God. He knew of God, right? He heard of God, but he didn't really have that relationship with him. Make sense? Let me explain. See, I'll give you guys an example. So it's important to know scriptures. Now watch this. Let's say I'm this new Christian and I come to God and I start praying to God. And I say, "God, give me wisdom. Give me understanding and give me clarity," right? And so God says, okay. And so then, boom, financial problems come. Boom, the kids are acting crazy. The wife is mad at me, right? I'm having no peace. I feel like the world is going to fall on my shoulders. There's pressure everywhere, right? Now, because I have a lack of sound doctrine in me, I'm going to start questioning God. Why are you doing this to me? All I want to do is serve you. Why are you letting these things happen to me? Did I do something to you? Did I offend you? What did I do wrong that you would allow something like this to happen to me? Right? And that's the mindset of someone that is hurt because they don't really understand his ways. Does that make sense? So, now, when you do have doctrine in you, when you read the Bible and you have it well ingrained in you, you'll begin to go through the warfare. You'll begin to feel the weight. You'll begin to have the anxieties. You'll begin to have the financial problems. Everything will go crazy. But the crazy thing a person that has sound doctrine is you'll see them rejoicing in the midst of it. See, because a person that stands on the Word of God understands that though everything right now may seem crazy and though there's turmoil and it may feel like God has abandoned you, see, the Bible says that God will take all things, the bad things, and He will make them good for all of those. You understand? So when we learn to stand on His Word, there is an expected end to that season that we're in, right? And so because of it, we're able to face it with joy because we understand that what's at the end is glory. What's at the end is peace. What's at the end, it's wisdom, discernment, right? So we have an expected end. Gideon didn't have that. He was trying to survive. And he questioned where God was at, right? See, and like with Gideon, there are things within our lives that we are going to have to go through because we made bad decisions, right? We've made bad decisions, so we have to pay the consequence for those bad decisions. Now, there are things in life that we're going to go through because, hey, there is an enemy out there, and he hates you. You carry the image of the God that he hates, so he hates you, right? Everything about you reminds him of God. He hates you. But there are also things that we are going to have to go through that we have no control over, things that we were born into. We didn't choose the family we were born into. I didn't choose for my father to abandon me and my mom. I didn't choose for my mom to be the way she was. I didn't choose for my dad to be a drug addict. I didn't choose for my mom to want to choose the streets or the party life instead of being at home and taking care of me. Do you understand? We don't choose any of that. We're just born into it. And then what do? We begin to learn to survive. Amen? And so that's kind of what's going on here in Gideon's life. When you look in Judges 6, we'll read 5 verses. 6 verse 1, it says, "Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them, and they would encamp against the enemy, or they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza. And no leave, no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep or ox nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts, but they and their camels were without number. And they would enter the land to destroy it, so Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord." Now, whose fault was it that Gideon was in the situation that he was in? Was it his fault? Did he put it in his heart to rebel against God and worship idols? And because of that, now he's facing this consequence of having to survive, hiding within the mountains, so that the Midianites wouldn't come and steal his food. The people that came before him made decisions. And because of their mistakes and because of their errors, now he had to face the consequences of it. See, in our lives, sometimes we question God and we say, "Why did you allow this to happen to me? Where were you at? Because I didn't choose this." And it's not that God wanted to allow it. See, the problem is that we as humans, we have free will, and God won't come against that. And so the people that came before us, the family members that came before us, they made decisions that came with consequences, and we're the ones that had to pay the price for it. So it's not that God wanted you to suffer. It's that you had to go through something drastic because of the decisions that were made. All that God was simply take that, and he developed it into something good because now we have a heart of compassion. Right now we see a drug addict in the street and our heart is just for him. All we want to do is just run to him. Because why? Because we understand the emptiness. Do you understand? So it's not it's not that God wanted you to suffer. He healed the situation because of the bad choices that were made. Right? So that's what's going on here. You know, we got to be careful that we don't fall into asking questions like, man, if God really loved me, why did he allow these things to happen? Right? If he is mighty to save, why did I have to carry all that abuse on my shoulders, right? If he's supposed to give rest to the weary, why is it that he hasn't given me any? See, all of these questions, even though because of what we may be feeling, they'll be valid, But I'll tell you this, there's error because there's no doctrine to stand on it. You're not standing on doctrine, you're standing on emotions. Okay? And so the standard's a very dangerous thing. Now, the importance of kind of knowing the Bible, if you go to 1 Corinthians 10, we'll start at verse 1. And this is why it's important to know the Bible. This is why it's important to know God, not because of what someone has told you, not because what you heard on the televangelists on the TV, or because, you know, you heard this great message from Steve Furtnick. You know, there's an importance to know the Word of God, because in it you'll come to understand how, not only how to avoid problems, but how to overcome them if you have to go through them. Amen? You guys all there? 1 Corinthians 10. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples." What things became our examples? Do you guys know? Disobedience. The disobedience of the people of Israel. The reason why we have the Bible is so that we would have an example of what happens when we begin to disobey God or rebel against Him or begin to worship other things other than Him, right? Verse 6. "Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, or as some of them did. In one day, 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all of these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." Listen, it's no secret. If you want to understand what you're going through, read the Bible. There's a reason why God gave you His Word. You'll be able to discern seasons far away, and you'll be able to prepare for it. You understand that? It's important to know. Even if you begin to go through a trial, the Holy Spirit will quicken you, and you'll know. You'll be like, "Hey, man, I remember the Bible." Right? Paul was imprisoned. He had shackles on him. But I remember that the Bible said that he began to worship, and as he began to worship, everything fell apart. There was nothing to hold him back now. Do you understand? And then you'll begin to worship and watch God show up. He'll come to your room. He'll come to your place of despair, and He will glorify His name because He will give you peace. But how would you know that unless you read the Bible? Amen? Verse 15, let me go back. So verse 14. If you guys ever fight with God when He's trying to call you, it's like He'll send you people and He'll be like, "Hey, Brother Kenny, man, there's a calling of God on your life, and I see you doing these great things, and God is going to use you so mightily." And like internally, we're like, "Is this guy crazy? What the heck's the matter with this guy telling me that he doesn't even know me," right? You know, but the beautiful thing about God is, even though sometimes we come at Him with doubt, He doesn't focus on that, right? Look at how He responds to Gideon's doubt in his negative mindset. He says, "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?'" Do you understand that? God doesn't look at you where you're at right now. Right? He doesn't look at you where you're at right now. He knows you as a completed work. Do you understand? And this is where we got to begin to understand. See, because sometimes because of our life, right, we grow up in rejection. We grow up in abandonment. We grow up in neglect, abuse, right? And this is where those strongholds begin to be built, and we think we're not good enough. And we're afraid, because if we let people in just enough, we're afraid that they can hurt us, right? I wasn't loved or accepted by my family. How is the church going to accept me? They don't even know me. They weren't there for me when I was going through all the struggles. If my family didn't do it for me, how is the church going to do it for me, right? I haven't done anything successful in my life. how can I do something successful for God? Right? I haven't done anything. I dropped out of high school. I got pregnant at 19. My family doesn't want anything to do with me. How can I serve God? Right? Why would he choose me? Everybody that comes near me leaves me. So why me? Right? And see, but let me tell you something. The beautiful thing about that is, even though it's a very horrible place to be, let me tell you that when you stand on sound doctrine, that doctrine tells you that you are the perfect candidate, that you are just the right person, that you have been set apart for such a time as this, right? It says, go to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to show you guys something cool. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I believe. Yep, 126. Let me show you something. You guys all there? Amen. The Word of God says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many were wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. You're perfect. You're hired. Can you start today? Amen. You understand what I'm saying? The fact that you're in a place like the Bible says that it's the meek that will inherit the earth. Right? You're perfect. You can't allow those things of the past to hold you back. Listen, if you want to come into the new thing that God is doing in your life, you have to let go of those, all those labels, the labels that your family placed on you, the labels that the streets put on you, the labels that the ex-girlfriend, the ex-boyfriend put on you, that you ain't good, but nothing but a beat-down dad. You got to let that go, because God says, listen, I got something greater for you. But in order for me to take you there, you need to let that go right now. You understand that? We have to let it go. Amen. God's good, man. He's just, I just love how he does the things that he does, right? So let's go back to Judges 6:33. I'm going to finish with this real quick. Now, as God begins to deal with you, and as he begins to take away all the false identities, and he begins to take away all the lies, all the false labels, the names, the, you know, all those things that people have placed on you, he begins to take all of that. Then comes the season and a time where he begins to deal with you in your heart. He begins to deal with the things that you worship, the things that you love to put before him, right? Listen to what he did to Gideon after he had revealed to him that he was the one that he had chosen, right? It says in 6:33 to 35, it says, then all the Midianites and Amalekites and the people of the east gathered together. Let's go to 6:25. Sorry, that's my fault. 6:25. It says, now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of the seven-year-old, tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement, and take the second bull offering and burn on it a sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down. So Gideon then took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. Listen, you got to take down the altars of every other god that you have in your life. Money can't be your god anymore. The television can't be your god anymore. You understand what I mean? Lust can't be your god anymore. Seduction can't be your god anymore. You got to let these things go. Because where God wants to take you, all those things can't come with you. Amen? Here's a big one. You know, as a Latino, I grew up in Latin culture. Bachata, merengue, cumbia, you know, all of it. You know, you identify with it. Hey, that's me, man. You put on some cumbia, some bachata. Hey, we get down, bro. It's all good. Right? The reality. Right? In every culture, right? Every different culture has their own things that they use to identify themselves as. Listen, we have to let go of some of it. We have to let go of actually a lot of it. I can't hold on to
the seductive way of the Latin culture. I can't hold on to the bachata, the merengue, the cumbia, because it all produces seduction. It all produces, you know, this thing between a man and a girl. And even though I used to identify with it a lot, I can't bring it with me. You understand? I can't bring it with me into glory. God won't allow it. So it's my choice. Do I leave it behind? Do I follow Christ? Or do I dabble with it a little bit more and tell Christ to wait on me? Right? And so I want you guys, you know, I want to challenge you guys to really think about that. What are some of the things that you still hold on to? Right? What about the gangster mentality? You don't know me, fool. You don't know what I've been, man. Clica, you know what's up? We got to let go of that. We ain't gangsters. We're disciples. We're disciples. Do you understand that? We walk differently. We speak differently now. We have to let go of that. That can't come with us anymore. Look, so once we begin to deal with the idols, there is something very important. This is the most important part that I really think we need to understand, okay? And this is where we go to verse 33. And we're going to finish with this, you guys. Sorry I'm taking forever. 33 to verse 5 says, right, this is after he had taken down the Asherah pole, after he took down the altar of Baal. It says, then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east gathered together, and they crossed over to the encampment in the valley of Jezreel. These are all the enemies, right? They came to fight against them. 34. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Then he blew the trumpet, and the Abizarites gathered behind him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also gathered behind him. He also sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. Look, when we begin to pray to God for specific things, God answers us, but he answers us through people. He will bring people into your life. And if you choose to reject those people, you reject the blessing and you reject the season that you've been asking for. This is why it's so important to really understand how God works, right? Let me tell you this. In the Bible, in the Jewish culture, names aren't just names. They signify something. They mean something prophetically about the person, something that they'll be identified by, a work they'll do, or what a place is about, right? And so look, the first people that gathered to, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he blew that trumpet, the first people that came to him were the Abizarites, right? Now remember, the Abizarites were the weakest tribe, right? That name means father of help. So let me tell you this. When you come to God and you begin to leave behind the things of the world and you begin to tear down every other altar that you have set up, right? And the Spirit of the Lord comes upon your life, there is a calling that takes place in heaven and God will begin to gather the right people around you. The first people that you'll see gather around you are going to be people that are weaker than you. And you're going to be carrying all this weight, you're going to be struggling financially, you're going to be having family problems, and you're going to have this people. You're going to have these people coming to you with all their problems, and you're just like, man, I'm going through it. Why are you coming to me, right? Now, if you understand sound doctrine, see, because while you're going through it and your faith is depleting and your strength is depleting, what's going to happen is those people are going to come to you, and you're going to minister to them. And even though you're struggling with faith, you're going to tell them, don't give up. Listen, God is able. God is good. Listen, if you would just wait, you'll see the salvation of God come. Right? And what happens? Your faith begins to grow, and you become stronger, and you're able to push further. And so the people that God is calling you to help are the ones that are actually helping you, because now your faith is growing. Understand that? So now, imagine if you don't understand how God works and you say to them, hey, look, bro, I got too much going on. Why don't you go tell someone else, I got too much on my plate right now. You understand that? You missed out on the blessing. You missed out on the help that you've been asking God for. You've been missing out for that wisdom and that insight that you've been asking God for because you rejected them. Now, the second people that came was Manasseh. What that name means, it means causing to forget. And in this season of your life, God will bring people that will cause you to forget what you came out of. They will cause you to forget the pain that you lived in. They will cause you to forget the emptiness, the loneliness, the obscurity that you grew up in. Right? They'll begin to love on you. They'll begin to just be your friend. Right? And then from there comes Asher. And these are the people that are happy, fortunate. These are the people that are so happy, sometimes they're annoying, right? Like, you just shut up. Why are you so happy all the time, right? But see, to accept them, that joy that they carry will get transferred onto you. Do you understand? So it's important to not push people like that away. We got to allow ourselves for those walls to come down, to really accept them, because what they carry will get transferred onto us. Make sense? Okay, and the last two. Zebulun. The people of Zebulun came. And the people of Zebulun is a very important one. And this is a very dangerous one if we have the wrong mindset. See, because the people of Zebulun, it means God has endowed me with good gifts. And these are the people that you get to meet in the church that are successful, that are financially literate, that have that nice house, that have that nice car, that dress like real nice. See, the problem is sometimes we grow up in these mindsets. Oh, man, they're just rich people. They don't know anything about the struggle. They don't know anything about us, right? Just, you stay over there. We stay over here. It's all good. Don't do that. When you reject them, you reject the very thing you're asking God for. Because if you were to get close enough to them and you begin to build a relationship with them, I assure you that the wisdom that God gave them for financial increase, financial multiplication, for expansion, the wisdom that they carry and the spirit that's on them will get transferred onto you. And guess what? You'll only succeed even more. So why reject that? Why reject them because of an old mindset of where you grew up? Do you understand that? God wants to bless you and prosper you, but he's going to do it through a person. Now the question is, are you humble enough to see it? Right? And you guys can stand up. And this last one is Naphtali. Now, the thing about Naphtali is these are the ones that carry heavy lessons. These are the people that have served God and all their family die, but yet they serve him. These are the people that have nothing to their name, but they refuse to glorify his name. These are the people that have no one to back them up, but they find one way or another to always make it to the feet of Christ to worship him and exalt his name. When God begins to bring these people into your life, you understand true worship. Don't look at them as a burden. Don't look at them as, how do I say this, man, without making it sound weird? Have empathy, but don't feel pity for them. Because if you understood the glory where they stand, you would want it. You would want what they have. Do you understand? They've gone through processes that you and I don't think probably could handle. Right? See, God will bring these people into your life. But if you reject them, you reject what he wants to do within you. Learn to love people. We need each other. We need each other. Right? We just do at the end of the day. And so, I just want to pray with you guys. And right now, we're